Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna DeHart, and I am so excited that you decided to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
So make sure y'all say hello to her. You ready for the word? Yay. Today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. It's always the Sunday before Easter. I'm going to give you the story here in a moment, but I really like last week. I want you to come into the story this morning with me. I want it to be more than just a story. I want to extract something new, get us excited about Jesus, if you're not already excited, but more excited. This is a Sunday when Christians around the world are recognizing this profound week, the most important week in the history of mankind. This week changed history. This week marked history. Our calendars, our lives are all hinging on before Christ and after Christ, AD and BC. This is a week when we as Christians, I love to go back, I think we all should, and read the story of what Jesus was going through the week leading up to his crucifixion. There was so much going on this day. Jesus had been, like I talked about last week, he had been with his friends and had a dinner in Bethany. He had been down there with Martha and Mary and Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And he had a lot on his heart, a lot on his mind. And he went to that dinner because they wanted to celebrate him. You got to understand, he's at the end. He knows that it's his time. He had been anointed for burial by Mary in this beautiful demonstration of extravagant love and worship, where she poured this bottle, this ointment of or perfume on his feet and washed his feet with her hair. And all of this had been going on. And simultaneously, while this love and this extravagant worship is being poured out on him, he has a betrayer in the house who is greedy and going to sell him out. And he knows it. And he knows that he is the Lamb of God that came here to take away the sins of the world. He knows that. He knows that's his assignment. And he leaves the house, and people are already plotting to kill him. They're not only plotting to kill him, but they're plotting to kill Lazarus. Because that's what religion does. It wants to kill the miraculous. It wants to kill any place that has the belief that Jesus is the miracle worker, because his glory and his power polarizes the fact that they have none. Yeah? And he's sad because he came to give them that power. He came to demonstrate his power. He came to make us more than we could have ever been without him. He leaves the house under duress, knowing that the most horrific part of his journey is on the horizon in these next few days. His heart is grieved because the people that are going to celebrate him on this Sunday and yell about his kingship and lift up his name in worship, and we're going to read this story in a moment, and say, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. These people don't want what he is bringing to them. What they want is they want a national hero. They want a leader. They want someone that is going to deal with the political unrest. They want someone that they can put on a pedestal, that they can hail as their leader, that will make their lives more comfortable, than it was at the time. And it was horrific. Let me tell you this. They, when I say they, I'm talking about the religious leaders that were there and synagogue leaders and all of these people who were entrusted with the scriptures. They had the scriptures. They had every sign. They had every clue right in front of them. And they are still missing his assignment. They're missing his message. And many of them are still missing it today. Yes? It's Easter week. It's resurrection week. But they don't know. They don't know that he's going to be resurrected, even though he's told them he will. Yeah? Here's the guy that they all made common. He's done miracles. He's healed the sick. He's opened deaf ears. He's opened blind eyes. He's fed 5,000. He's fed 4,000. He's done miracles all around the region. And they are following him now, hoping that he will be their national leader. There's a great multitude that has come because it's Passover. You got to understand, this has been going on for years. And it's become routine. They all come to Jerusalem. They come from all over the region. It's noisy. They say there was a quarter of a million, and that was just men that were accounted for. So you can imagine the number of women. And these people are coming with lambs. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear the noise of the city. There are lambs bleeding. There is just noise everywhere. And these lambs would have to live with a family for 3 days in order for them to sacrifice it. So many had come days before because they didn't want to transport lambs with them. Many had transported lambs. But you can hear the sound of lambs everywhere. Lambs are everywhere. It's Passover. And it's noisy, and Jesus is listening to all of that, and he's looking at them, coming and obeying the law. And he's thinking, look at all these lambs, and I'm the most important lamb of all. I'm the lamb, the final lamb, that is going to lay down my life for the sins of all these people. Today they will hail me as a king that they want to serve, they think. But I didn't come to be served. I will not be put on a pedestal and come in on a war horse like some, you know, conquering battle king. I'm not coming in that way. I didn't come to be served by you. I came to serve you. I came to humble myself, and I come in a lowly manner. And he was not what they expected. Yeah? There's excitement in the city. There's so much excitement. Behind Jesus were his signs and wonders. His signs and wonders. Ahead were his signs and wonders still that will happen through you. But ahead was his suffering. Yeah? Behind him were his parables. Ahead of him was his passion. Behind him were his suppers of fellowship. And ahead, his last supper of betrayal. I just want to stop right there. Jesus was having supper with them in the natural. But in Revelations, we hear him say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will open it, I will come in and dine with him. He's still offering us supper. He's still offering us fellowship, right? But behind him were the delights of Galilee, ahead his dark and painful Gethsemane, and Golgotha, the crucifixion. Prophecy was now coming to pass, and it was also about to become practice. Not just for the few. What we call, you know, the major prophets and the minor prophets. But prophecy was being fulfilled so that prophecy through spiritual relationship with Jesus could be in the mouth of all of us. Yeah? We could say what he said. We could begin to say things inspired by his Spirit all over the world. This is a pivotal moment in history. And they missed the whole thing. Matthew 21, I like this in the Passion. Stay with me. I've got quite a bit of text here and we'll get through this. But I brought two separate accounts of this same story because I wanted to show you something. It says, now is at Matthew 21, verse 1 through 9 in the Passion. It says, now as they were approaching Jerusalem, they arrived at the place of the stables near the Mount of Olives. And Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead, saying, as soon as you enter the village, you will find a donkey tethered along with her young colt. Untie them both and bring them to me. And if anyone stops you and asks, what are you doing? Just tell them the Lord of all needs them. I like that. The Lord of all needs them, and he will let you take them. All this happened to fulfill the prophecy, and this is the prophecy from Zechariah. This is why I say they missed it. These leaders should have been looking. They hear about this king. They hear about this miracle worker. They should have been looking for a king that would ride in on a donkey. It's right there in their own scriptures. And here it is. Tell Zion's daughter, look, your king arrives. He's coming to you full of gentleness, sitting on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. Think about that. If you were the owner of the donkeys and you had to put up with these jackasses for all these years, and one day they had an assignment. Listen, don't judge me on a soundbite. Jesus is still using jackasses today. He is. Mm-hmm. He's got a purpose. Amen. He asked for these because they were going to represent his gentleness, his lowliness, his humility. Everything that Jesus did was strategy. It was prophecy. It was truth. It was revelation. It was time. And it says, so the two disciples went on ahead and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and her colt to him and placed their cloaks and prayer shawls on the colt, and Jesus rode on it. And so here, let's go over to John. And this is the same story, but I just wanted you to see that as the backstory. Here he comes. It says, the next day when the large crowd who had come to the Passover feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees in homage to him as king and went out to meet him. And they began shouting and kept shouting, Hosanna, blessed, celebrated, praised is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. So here they are. They're hailing him as king. Palm branches represented national victory that had been going on for many, many years. And so this is all fanfare for Jesus. This word Hosanna means save now. And so that day they received him as Savior. But they weren't asking for someone to save them from their sins. They were asking for someone to save them out of the trouble that they were in. And there's people like that today. Save me, Jesus. Save me. Save me. But they don't want to submit to him as Savior, as Lord of all. Don't you like that he told the disciples, go tell him the Lord of all wants the donkeys? Yeah? Jesus doesn't just want to come and save you out of the double trouble and all the contempt that you've experienced, but he loves you. He wants to get you out of things. But he doesn't want to get you out of things and then you suffer the worst thing, which is eternal separation from him forever. Amen? Jesus came not just to save them as a political leader, but to save them from the worst thing of all that can happen to anyone, and that is to die in your trespasses and sins. And it was all there in the scriptures, that he, behold, the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. It's interesting. There are people today that will celebrate you as long as they think you're going to do something to get them out of the mess they're in. Yeah? These same people would be screaming, crucify him within a few hours. Yeah? It says in verse 14, and Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, just as it is written in Scripture, do not fear, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt, His disciples did not understand the meaning of these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified and exalted, they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to tell others about him. For this reason, the crowd went to meet him because they heard that he had performed this miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees argued and said to one another, "You see that your efforts are futile. Look, the whole world has gone running after him." What would the world look like today if the whole world was running after Jesus? You know, I don't have a long message today. I have a short and sweet message. It is sweet. Jesus is sweet. On this day, when it looked like it was going to be the greatest triumph for him, he knew that he was facing a different kind of triumph. To the disciples, he knew it looked like he was facing the greatest tragedy of all. I entitled the message today, Triumph or Tragedy. I want you to know something. What happened to Jesus appeared to be a tragedy. But it was the greatest triumph of all. That day, they had palm branches, expecting him to be the leader, the national leader, this king that they could serve and put on a pedestal that would do this great work for them. But the greater work, they missed. And I want to show you something in Revelations, because we're the church that's been, you know, we're between what looked like the greatest tragedy of all and the greatest triumph that is about to come. There's another scene that's about to take place, and there will be palm branches there. What they all missed in the beginning, he'll have his day. And you're either going to be there or you're not. Amen? In Revelation 7, which we know is the wrap-up book, I call it the wrap-up book. When it's all going to be wrapped up, I want to show you another triumphal entry. And we're not going to miss it, folks. We haven't, because we've had the revelation, those of us who believe, we've had the revelation of what happened, but I wanted you to get the revelation of what is about to happen. Revelation 7:9 says this, there's a vast multitude from every nation. It says, after this I looked, and behold, right in front of me I saw a vast multitude of people. This is a different kind of crowd. We're not looking for a national leader that's going to come down here and get us out of this earthly situation and just let us go on living with the Antichrist and all the madness that's about to come on the earth. We're looking for an eternal leader. And he's going to get us out of it once and for all. And he's going to create a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, and a brand new earth. Amen? He's not coming to fix the broken mess that we're in right now and keep us in it. He's coming to do away with it once and for all. He's coming to give us hope forever. Amen? And I'm in this enormous multitude. I don't know about you, but I'm in it. I see myself in it. I see my children in it. I see your children in it. I see your families in it. I see this many in this city in it. I see what Jesus is about to receive, and that is the reward of his suffering. Amen? This is not going to be a boring scene at all. It says an enormous multitude, so huge that no one could count, made up of victorious ones. That's us. From every nation, tribe, people, group, and language. So if you, listen, if you're a racist, you need to get over it right now. Because, honey, you ain't going to get away from it. There's going to be every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every color, every kind of weirdo that you can imagine. Jesus is going to get us all up there. You know what I mean? If you can't get along with them right now, you're not going to like heaven very much. Amen? We're all going to be there. And he says, they were all glistening in robes, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Here we are with palm branches, a symbol of victory in our hands. There will be another Palm Sunday. There will be Palm Sundays for the rest of eternity. We will be singing the victory of the Lamb as the victorious ones. And Jesus will get his day. It will be his day forever and ever. I love it. He's riding in. They're hailing him as king. And within a few hours, days, they'll be crying and screaming, crucify him. Why? Because he was a disappointment to them. I want you to know, Jesus, you are not a disappointment to me. You are not a disappointment to those in these, to those in this house. He kept his appointment with destiny. He kept his appointment with death. He didn't wiggle out of the painful situation that he was about to go through. He knew what they considered a tragedy was about to be the greatest triumph in the history of mankind. Amen? I'm going to paraphrase quickly, but Jesus, as soon as that whole scene was over, he started talking to the disciples. And he told them again, I'm going to die. We love it when it looks like our leaders are winning. We love it when we feel like the Jesus in us is winning. But we don't like it very much when we've got to walk through a season of death. When it looks like we're weak and all we've got is tragedy around us. We've got to go through a season of dying. It's horrible. It's painful. But listen, if we're going to live with him, we've got to die with him. We've got to suffer with him. We've got to go through things with him. Yeah? And the devil does his most insidious work when you're hurting. When you're broken, when you're walking through the divorce, when you're walking through the death of a child, when you're walking through the death of a spouse, when you're walking through the death of a mother or a father, when you're walking through the season, when you're broken and you don't look victorious to the rest of the world. Those devils will come at you. They'll come at you through Absalom spirits to try to take over everything you've built. I want you to know something. You're still. Positionally, you are royalty, you're righteous, you're in the position that God has for you, and nobody can take away what God has appointed for you. They cannot. What he has built in you will last through the broken seasons, through the people that have tried to break you, through the devils that are trying to break you. I want you to know something. You are still victorious in Christ, and you will come through, and you will emerge, and you will stand up, and you will fulfill the calling that God put on your life. Amen. You will. Jesus told him, I'm going to die. But there's a reason for it. It's so that you will go tell others to believe. To believe. And if you will tell them this, and this saved my life. You guys know this story. If you try to keep it, your life, your way of doing things, if you try to do that, no, I can handle it on my own. I don't need that religion. It's a crutch. Jesus. Contempt. He went through it all. Yeah? You go tell him. I love him anyways. But you keep trying to do this on your own. You keep hanging on to your own life. You know what's going to happen? You're going to lose it. Forever. But if you will let go of your life, your way of doing things, your pride, your bad attitude, your I don't need saving. If you let go of all that and die to yourself, you will live. Jesus said you're going to keep your life forever. They say nothing lasts forever. I disagree. Honey, I will outlast every devil. I have outlasted every devil. I love Helen Baylor. She used to sing a song called, I'm Still Here. I can't do it like her. Mama Didi might get down in them tenor notes. Some of you need to just know this. Yeah? The devil has tried everything he can to crush you. But he can't. Because he's a serpent. And Jesus has already crushed his head. And you, if you believe the message that he was telling them right after this day, in between that day and his beating and all of the things that are going to happen leading up to Friday and on into Sunday, if you believe the words of our Savior and you give your life to him, he says that you will hold it forever. You will have eternal life. I love these words. He said, if anyone believes in me and faithfully follows me, I like this, without hesitation, holding steadfastly to me. If you do that, and if need be, we like leaving this part out, suffering. If need be, suffering. And perhaps dying because of faith in me. I just want you to know, these are the words of Jesus. He said, if you're willing to do that, wherever I am in heaven's glory, there you will be also. Not only will I honor you, but my Father will honor you. He said, it's for this very purpose. There is a purpose. I love Jesus talks to me. He told me when I was going through that dark night of the soul, there's purpose in your pain, daughter. There's purpose in it. I need you to make choices out of purpose and not out of pain. Don't forget, even in the most painful seasons of your life, there's purpose. And Jesus told him, he said, for this very purpose, I have come to this hour and this place. In other words, you got to get to the point where if you got the cheerleaders and they're all celebrating you, or you're alone suffering your guts out. Yeah? Crying your eyes out on the floor, not knowing what tomorrow holds. Writhing in your agony and your pain, and knowing that God is still good, even when it don't look like it. There is a purpose in your pain. And I just came to tell you a word from the Lord this morning, that every one of you who have decided that you will walk with him and you will unswervingly and without hesitation follow him, there is glory for you. There is glory for you. The Father is going to glorify your life. He is going to glorify your family. He is going to glorify your name. He is going to glorify his Son's name through you. It will be a season of glory that you will come into. Amen? It will. Jesus, after all this was going on, and they wanted him to keep doing miracles. They wanted him to keep just being, the monkey and pony show. I don't know. Not disrespecting what he did. He finally saw that most of them have checked out. He said, if you follow the Son of Man, darkness will not follow you. It won't overtake you. Man, I wish I was there just listening to him talk. He's just like, got some things I need to tell you because it's going to get really dark in the next few days, right? He said, I'm the light. Hold on to the light while you have the light. Hold on. You're going to become light bearers. You're going to become followers of mine. And now many of them are starting to check out. You know, it's great when you're telling people about all the triumphs and all the things, but when you start talking about the tragedies you're going to have to walk through, yeah. People are like, wait, you're not going to keep doing miracles for us and things are going to not get better? They're going to get darker? And the message changed. And it's like, you know what? Now you're going to have to remember the words I told you. Now you're going to have to hold on to the light that I gave you and the light that I'm going to be inside of you. But darkness is going to be all around you. It just can't stay. It'll linger, but it can't stay. And Jesus said, what he had to say, and then he hid himself from them. Because they didn't believe. They just stopped believing. It said they did not believe and failed to trust him. This was to fulfill what Isaiah the prophet said, "Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm, the power of the Lord been shown and unveiled?" Therefore, they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes and he has hardened their heart to keep them from seeing with their eyes and understanding with their heart and being converted. Otherwise, I, their God, would heal them." Oh, my Lord. Their eyes were blinded. You know why? Because they were looking for the approval of man. Jesus said this. They love the approval of men more than the approval of God. This is the stuff he's saying. Immediately after he walks through the streets and all this is happening. And then Jesus again, loudly, it says he loudly declared, "The one who believes and trusts in me does not only believe, but also believes in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me." He's talking about his Father. "I've come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me and trusts in me as Savior, that they would anchor their life in the hope and the message of what I'm about to do. It's not just going to become a day. It's going to become a message. It's going to become a gospel." Amen? Called the good news. Even though the bad news is coming, this is going to become the good news. And Jesus is loud. He's saying, "Hey, I've been trying to tell you." If you believe in me, you will not continue walking in darkness. Judgment is about to come on the world, but I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world through the suffering that I'm about to go through. Hallelujah. He said, "Go and tell them what I said. This tragedy I'm about to walk through is going to become the greatest triumph." Yeah? Because the greatest tragedy up until that day was to die. Yeah? Greatest tragedy is to die. For us, we know the greatest triumph in the world was to die, for this man to die. And I want to tell you today, the greatest triumph in your life is for you to die. There came a day, I love Catherine Kuhlman, she wrote a little chapter in a book called The Day That Catherine Died. And to this day, I can't read it without weeping. She said, "Unless you're willing to be a dead man walking, you can't walk with him." I still remember the day that Verna died. Can you remember the day you died, Janet? Yeah. Mama Nay. Doris, you remember the day, all of us who walked with Jesus, we remember the day we died. All my friends that I partied with thought that was the great tragedy. Speak, come on. For them, it was a tragedy. Vanessa, I look at you, I've heard your story. It was a tragedy. For those of us who understand this message, the death of our flesh, the laying down of our life, and letting the Lord crucify us with him was the greatest triumph in our life so far. Believing in him, adhering to him, trusting in him, following him, There have been times I've hesitated. Guys, there have been times I've swerved. I swerved so hard I almost crashed into a wall. Let me tell you, I have not unswervingly followed the Lord. But as the older I get, I don't swerve as much. I ain't swerving these days. You understand, honey? I'm on a road. It's a straight and narrow road, and I ain't swerving. I died a long time ago. The drug dealers told me how to, you know, when I said, how do I get out of this? They said, you either die or you die. And I remember Jesus walking up in the drug room and saying to me, are you ready to die? Because if you die, you will never die. They will never be able to take your life. You will live forever, girl. You're going to die today? That's the greatest triumph in my whole life. Amen. And I pray to God today that you have got your life in a position where you say, Lord, I died. You can remember the day you died. And if you haven't, if you don't know the day you died, then you haven't really died. Because trust me, when you die, you know when you died. You know, because God comes into your life. He changes everything. And there is no going back. There's no going back. Come on, stand up to your feet. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray over you a closing prayer. But I want you to know this. If you listen to this message today and you have never truly submitted your life to the Savior that they cried Hosanna to, and that the whole world, every tribe, every tongue, every nation in the universe is going to sing to. If you have never done that, today's the day. We don't ask you to join the church. Jesus don't ask you to join some religious organization, but he does make you a member of his church. Yeah? He does. What it's all about is salvation. It's all about resurrection. It is all about having eternal life. And if Jesus was here today, his voice would be louder than this loudmouth preacher saying, I don't want you to walk in darkness. I don't want darkness to overtake your life. And I definitely don't want you to spend eternity separate from me. I love you. And I want you to believe in me. Put your faith in me. Trust in me. Give me your life so I will give you mine. Amen? It's just real simple. And only a fool would tell him no thank you. Or no. Only a fool. Don't be a fool, as Mr. T would say. Fool. Don't be a fool. Yeah? Be a wise one. Put Jesus as the number one priority in your life and believe on him today. The Bible says if you believe in him in your heart and you confess with your mouth that you believe that what he did for you will give you eternal life. If you do that, the word of God says you will be saved. You will be. That's what Jesus said. So pray. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross, you were buried, and you rose again on Resurrection Sunday to give me eternal life. I can't save myself. You came to do that for me. Become my Lord and Savior right now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I believe I will never be the same in your name, Jesus. And I will not only have eternal life, but I will be a herald to tell everyone I meet about what you have done for me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.